Hello, and welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. Thank you for tuning into this episode today. This is a place where I talk about health and wellness and biohacking, obviously. And I am a registered holistic nutritionist who specializes in women's health, fertility, and all things under that umbrella. I am currently recording this in a closet in a hotel. I am on the road right now. I am moving from the West Coast to the East Coast, and we are traveling by car with my dog, myself, and my husband, and I am pregnant as well. And so we are moving into a house. We bought a house on the East Coast, and so we are making this big move right now, and I am doing some work this week, but yeah, spending time on the road and coming to you live from this, not live, but live while I record this or from this closet floor that I am sitting on. So thank you for tuning in and sticking with me as I travel and make the most of this transition that I'm in. It is a very interesting time right now. I am in my third trimester. Last week, I released my first trimester experience podcast episode. So if you have been pregnant before, you are pregnant, you are expecting, wanting to conceive, whatever, in the next year, I would really suggest listening to that episode. It's very raw and honest and real, and I think that you're going to get a lot out of it. I am going to release the first trimester biohacks episode shortly, just to kind of like give you some support if you're going through that yourself. And these are the types of episodes you can save for later. You can send to a friend. You can come back to in the future, because honestly, there's not a lot out there about this type of content. So if you type in like pregnancy, biohacking pregnancy or biohacking fertility or conception, there the amount of podcasts and blogs and people talking about it is very, very, very minimal. It's like a very small niche. So I'm trying to support you and give you the content that you're looking for, and also just give you the content that I was looking for that I didn't see myself. So I'm going to do that for first trimester, second trimester, third trimester. Going to do a conception story. I will do a birth story as well. And I, you know, whenever I'm ready for that, I don't know when that will be, but that will definitely be sometime this year as I navigate that. And then also navigate fourth trimester and postpartum and everything that comes with that. So we are planning a home birth, and I have two midwives and a doula. So the way that it works in Canada is that, and in Ontario, where I'm moving to, is that you have a midwife for yourself, and then you have a midwife for your baby. So there are minimum always two that will come to your house if you do a home birth. And then we hired a doula separately. So the midwives are covered by health insurance, which obviously, you know, we pay for through our taxes. And then the doula is like out of pocket. You pay separately for that. So I'm very excited to kind of go through this process and report on that and give you my feedback on these people that I'm working with. And I will definitely, definitely be honest with you if I recommend it, if you should do the same, all of that type of thing. I would argue right now, if you are planning on a home birth, I would definitely look into having some sort of support. I know a lot of people are kind of into wild birthing. I'm not at that point in my life right now, at least not for my first, maybe for my second one day. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I could handle something like wild birthing. Maybe I would be able to. But for this first birth as a new mom, first time mom, this felt like the best option that aligned with my values. And I am going to definitely go into that in a future episode. And I also actually want to bring on experts in that space, because I really want to talk about like hospitals and the cascade of interventions and how quickly it turns on you. And, you know, the medical system looks at birth as a procedure, like a medical problem or issue that needs to be fixed. Whereas the midwifery model looks at it as this is something that you go through like it's a phase. It's a part of like becoming a mother versus something that just like happens to you. Anyway, so lots of content to come out about that. So please stay tuned. If you have any personal questions, definitely reach out to me. I know there's a bunch of you in my DMs right now on Instagram. And I really love, 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 love the questions that you're giving me. So I released my Baby Steps course. This is how to optimize your health preconception during the preconception phase and everything for fertility. And it's for you and your partner. If you have a partner, there are a lot of lessons in there about men's health because men can actually do, oh my goodness, so much to impact their sperm. So, so much. Like I was actually just reviewing our substances module and the stats on how tobacco, cannabis, alcohol, anabolic steroids, and even NSAIDs like Advil or Tylenol, the stats behind it and the research that actually shows that how it impacts sperm quality, quantity, semen volume, hormones is actually really staggering. So that is something that I focus a lot on. And men can just do so much, so, so much just for a few months, you know, minimum 3 months before trying to conceive. They really have a huge impact on fertility outcomes and the health of the baby, like how healthy your baby is. Yeah, it's pretty wild. So if you're interested in that course that is out right now, you can go to babystepsmethod.com or on my website. We're currently making a new landing page. Bear with me. My website, my landing page right now are a little like cut and paste. Again, I'm on the road. I'm not working as much, but we are fine tuning everything, but it is live. And so you can definitely check that out. Today's episode is all about cold therapy. I've talked about cold therapy so many times, but we look at it from quite a different angle. We talk about like the breath work that goes with cold therapy. We talk about, you know, how to actually get through it. First 30 seconds, first minute, first 90 seconds. We talk about the sounds that you kind of make during cold therapy. Like, why do we feel like we need to be vocal and like, you know, yell or scream or whatever we say when we get into a cold tub or an ice tub? Like, why does that happen? So we kind of get into these like nuances, which is very interesting. And having Joshua Church on the episode was great. He is a very smart guy and has a really cool, cool background that led him to create the company that he is in right now. So I think you're going to get a lot out of this. You know, cold therapy is so, so trendy right now. So I know a lot of you love it and listen to it. And I just, oh my gosh, it's just everywhere. I hear people talking about it all the time at the gym, you know, how to stay in longer and like how it's so beneficial. So it's really cool to actually see cold therapy become one of the most trendy biohacks of this year and last year. Like it is mainstream now. Arguably it's mainstream now. So I'm really happy about that. I wonder which one will be next. Maybe saunas? I feel like kind of, but I don't know if saunas, to be honest, I don't think saunas have hit their mark as much as cold tubs have. I don't know what it is about it. Anyway, so enjoy this episode and a shout out to Mimio. I love taking Mimio. It is a stack of four different biomimetic ingredients. Now, these ingredients help with cellular function and longevity, and they work better together. And biomimetic means that they're actually found in your body. So there's four different ingredients. It's like OEA, PEA, spermidine, and there's one other one I'm forgetting. And essentially these are stacked together. You take it in the supplement and it really helps to clean up your cells and support longevity. So that's why I love Mimio. And I can see so many of you loving it because you always use my referral code, which is great. I will link it in the show notes and my website for you. The code is BiohackingBrittany and you get a nice discount off at checkout. And so if you're somebody who cares about longevity or cellular health like that, this is definitely for you. But it also mimics the benefits of a 36-hour fast. So if you're a woman and you're not fasting a lot because maybe you're in this fertility stage or preconception stage and, you know, fasting isn't really recommended, You can take something like Memio and get the benefits without having to restrict your food. And that is really cool, which is why I love it. And that's always how I've used it and why I was drawn to it. Definitely check that out. Spelled M-I-M-I-O, Mim-E-O. And I think you will love it. And a shout out to Leela Quantum Tech. So I actually brought their little capsule necklace with me on the road because this has actually been charged with the frequencies that help mitigate and neutralize EMF. So I keep it in my hotel room. I keep it in my car. And I love to actually think that this is helping neutralize all the EMF that's around me, especially in hotels with all of the electronics, way more than is in a home. The phones, the alarm clocks, the fridge, the everything that's plugged in, the TV, like on and on and on. And so I love traveling with their little capsule. And they have over 65, actually I think it's 69 published studies that prove how their products work. And they are everywhere right now. Like they are so, so popular. So that's Leela Quantum Tech. You can use my discount code BiohackingBrittany. They're also on my website as well. So definitely check that out. And if you ever like think of these products later, you're like, oh, I wonder if she has a discount. Cause that's how I do it, to be honest. Like I buy stuff and I always look for discounts. Like I feel like I'm like a modern coupon lady anyway, cause I hate paying full price. So I'm always looking for discounts. So send me a message and I probably have one for you and I can get that for you. So enjoy this episode and I will catch you on Friday for another one. Welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. Thank you for tuning in to this episode today. We are plunging deep into the cold with Joshua Church, who is the co-founder of Edge Theory Labs. So they have changed the game with the world's first portable iceless cold tub, and they are bringing the power of cold therapy right into your home. As a biohacker, I love cold therapy, and I know you do as well. So today's episode is going to be all about that, and really how we can use this modality to optimize our health further. So Joshua, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Super stoked to be here.
Yeah. So you've had quite a unique path that kind of, you know, you hacked the college system and you did this retreat in Iceland. And I'd love for you to like briefly kind of walk us through the last few years and kind of how you got to this point of developing this very innovative product.
Yeah, it's a great question. And to be honest, it was completely by accident. Like I didn't set out and say, okay, I want to go disrupt the cold immersion industry or bring a hardware product to market. It came as a result of a need that I was experiencing, which stemmed from my introduction into cold water immersion and how cold immersion truly changed my life and saved my life, as I like to say. It sounds super cliche, but it was the right tool at the right time for what I needed. And it naturally led to that point. And so if we rewind to myself as a 20-year-old kid, I was living in chronic pain at the age of 20. I was no stranger to injuries and surgeries and physical trauma and health injuries and health concerns. I was born minutes after I was born, my lung collapsed, which is pretty ironic because now I do breath work and lead people through the power of breathing, but breath was taken away from me right out the get-go and almost died. I was in the NICU for 2 weeks. And was able to make a full recovery, much to the doctor's surprise, as they thought that I was going to have significant brain damage from losing oxygen in that first several minutes. So that set the stage, unfortunately, for what much of my first couple decades of life on Earth was for me. And I had a couple other injuries, normal bumps and bruises, broken bones as an active kid. But then I had a really scary injury called compartment syndrome, which rendered me about a few hours away from having my leg amputated from a blunt force trauma related injury from high school football. And they were able to save the function of my leg, which was amazing. But then just the next year, I had ACL torn and I had to go through knee reconstruction surgery and then finally went to college. And my freshman year of college, I had appendicitis, which wasn't a big concern because it's a simple procedure, but the doctor messed up the procedure and nicked an artery. So I was bleeding internally and I was on a hospital bed for a week, blood transfusions, touch and go, in and out of consciousness. And it was a really scary time. So after I recovered from that, I mean, it led me to my rock bottom at age 20, where I was unwell. I was inflamed. I had chronic back pain because of my knee surgery and my knees and not being able to recover from that fully. I had zero trust in my body because of all of the injuries that I'd been through. And I was at a place where I didn't know where to turn. And the best that the doctors could do at the time, which was prescribe me Percocet and a high grade anti-inflammatory ibuprofen. And that was it. And they said, good luck. Like, you know, basically we recommend just not running. I asked them, well, what about, like, I love to play basketball and I want to do a marathon one day. And literally the doctor I'll never forget said, well, I recommend you pick up golf instead. And so that launched me into this quest of, okay, I refuse to accept this at age 20, that this is going to be the status of my life. And this is going to be how I'm going to feel for the rest of my life. There has to be another way. And that led me into that next phase of my journey of seeking solutions through health and wellness and getting into yoga and then eventually cold immersion and breath work and these alternative modalities of healing that have allowed me to really reclaim my health and vitality and do things I never thought it was possible of doing, like summiting mountains, seven summit mountains, to finishing an Ironman triathlon and just really seeing what is possible. So that's the short story long of what led me to the gateway and the path of going deeper into some of these holistic practices.
I love that. And I actually love that you did the seven summits. That has been something I've always wanted to do. I have done Kilimanjaro and it was one of the best experiences of my entire life.
Amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah.
I haven't done all seven yet. I'm working on it. I did Kili as well though. And it was just absolutely incredible. So yeah, you know.
Yeah. It was very transformational. And it was before I was as like deep into health as I am now, but I would love to do it again. My goal is actually, this is such a side note, but my goal is one day to do it again with kids, like a family that I have. Once they're, I think you might have to be like 13 or something once they're old enough, because I learned so much about myself in that journey, because you're literally hiking and there's nothing to do except for figure out all the crap in your brain that's been sitting there. And anyway, it was very transformational. And yeah, we did it in 5 days and it was the best. So I really love that you're trying to do the seven summits, because I think that's very cool. But back to cold therapy, I love that this has been such a big part of your journey and your healing journey. So how did you kind of like go from loving cold therapy to be like, oh, I'm actually going to make this world's first portable iceless cold tub? Like, what was that transition?
Yeah, well, first let me share how I went from hating cold to actually loving cold therapy, because I think it feels like a bit of a leap for most people to just get to the point where you're loving cold therapy. I'm sure a lot of listeners are already at that stage where they're loving cold therapy, but most people still keep it a very like arm's length distance, because it's cold and it's scary and it's uncomfortable and it's the opposite of what we're wired for. But so I listened to this crazy guy named Wim Hof on a podcast years ago. And in 2019, I went on a retreat to Iceland to do a Wim Hof method retreat. And because that's the logical next step in my mind, like, right, you hear this guy on a podcast, cool, let me go try this stuff in real life. But I hated the cold up to that point. I grew up in San Diego, California. I'm a sun creature. I'm a beach bum surfer. Like, I like the warmth. And I hated the cold. I did ice baths in a trash can in high school after football practice. And that was my extent of it. The trainers told us to go in and just suffer through it. And that's what I did. That was my experience with cold immersion, like many people out there. And then all of a sudden, this crazy guy named Wim started making a lot of sense as he's talking about, we have the ability to take control and we have the responsibility over our own strength, our own health, and our own happiness. And we can use tools like cold water immersion, like breath work, like mindset to be able to take control and to increase our levels of health, of wellness, and vitality. And it made a lot of sense to me, and I felt the pull to go experience that. And back in 2019, there was only a handful of North American instructors. I went on to become an instructor as well, and there's still less than 200 North American instructors. And so the only way that I could engage with it was past the online stuff, was to go to do a retreat. And I've always wanted to go to Iceland, so I signed up for it. And that really took me to the next level. And the breath work in combination with the cold and changing my relationship with the cold, changing my relationship with stress, using the cold as a tool of stress to be able to shift how I engage with the stimulus of cold and the stimulus of stress. And also to feel the full body effects of decreasing inflammation, of feeling that release, of doing something challenging. All of these things just hit, and it felt like it was the exact tool that I needed and I was looking for and that I was waiting for. And so I got addicted to it. So as I came home from Iceland, I was like all in on doing my daily ice baths, which looked like at the time going to 7-Eleven and raiding the chest freezer of the ice packs and 5 10-pound ice bags and coming back to my small bathtub in my apartment, filling it up with water and icing it down. And it was great until very quickly, about a week in, it was not great, right? It became super manually intensive, super cumbersome. I was wasting a lot of water. I was wasting a lot of plastic with the ice bags, and I was spending a lot of money. And I'm like, there has to be a better way to do this. And so I went on. I was like, well, you can buy a hot tub. I'm sure you can buy a cold tub. And I went on to do some research to go buy a cold tub because that was what I was going to do. And I was shocked because the only things out there at the time were $10,000 to $20,000 big fixed wall cold tubs that I couldn't even buy if I wanted to because I was living in an apartment with a balcony. So like I couldn't even if I wanted to. But what I noticed is that other people that weren't spending that money but wanted to do their daily cold exposure in 2019, 2020, what they were doing and what a lot of people still do is they hack chest freezers. So you buy a chest freezer, you caulk the inside, fill it with water, plug it in, and you have a makeshift ice bath that works until it doesn't work and has its own risks and has its own high maintenance issues, constantly dumping and refilling the water and breaking down. And it's not built for that, of course, but it was in a way to do it. And so I wanted to go do that because that was all in about $1,000, which felt more in my budget. And I wanted to do that. And so what I did is I'm not a handyman, Brittany. I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm not very technically savvy. So what I did was I texted and called the person that I was closest to in my life who is a handyman and is very mechanically an engineering sound person. And that happened to be my cousin, Rob. And so I hit him up and I said, hey, Rob, can you help me build this chest freezer? Like, I want to hack this chest freezer so I can do my ice baths. And he was like, what do you mean? Like, this is crazy. You don't want to electrocute yourself or close yourself in on accident. Like, if you want to build cold water, like there's probably a better way we can do this with above ground pool parts and other things. So let's do it. So it became our cousin COVID project in his garage of hacking this Rubbermaid tub and drilling holes into it and connecting it to an aquaponic aquarium chiller and then attaching that to a filter housing and this crazy contraption we put together that worked somewhat. And then it broke down and we fixed it, made it a little bit better, swapped out some parts. And that ended up being the first prototype for us to have a cold tub. And as we kept going down that route of using the tub for our training at the time for triathlon, he got addicted to it. We were doing it all the time. We were bringing friends over. They were getting addicted to it. And people started asking us, hey, can you build me one? Like, I'll spend a couple grand on this. And we thought, well, maybe there's an opportunity. And we also saw at the same time, people, these Facebook groups just getting flooded with tens of thousands of people for DIY cold plunges and thought, okay, maybe there's an opportunity here. And we decided to just make something better that was out there that was more affordable. And that's how we set our scope towards building the Edge Tub and launching Edge Theory Labs in April of 2022.
Let's talk about Mimio, a breakthrough longevity supplement that hacks your biology to help you look and feel younger. It was created by PhDs in nutrition from over 7 years of clinical research, and Mimio was designed to mimic the longevity benefits of fasting in a simple daily pill. Not only has Mimio been shown to extend lifespan in animals by 96%, but users have been able to take as much as 2.5 years off their biological age in just 8 weeks. How? Mimio's groundbreaking biomimetic formula uses a patented blend of all-natural metabolites that work together to help your cellular health from the inside out. First, there's OEA, which is a metabolic supercharger clinically proven to help control appetite and promote fat metabolism so you can crush those cravings and silence food noise throughout the day. Then there's spermidine, the cellular autophagy activator, helping clear out cellular junk to boost cognition, clear brain fog, and refresh your cells. Next, there's nicotinamide, a broad-spectrum NAD plus booster that's been shown to improve everything from metabolism to skin glow to immune health. And lastly, there's PEA, one of the body's most powerful rest and repair molecules that helps control inflammation, relieve discomfort, and enhance recovery so you can get that youthful energy back. Mimio is designed to work like a super fast, super efficient fasting diet, but without actually having to fast. It's all about tapping into the power of your own biology, giving your body the cheat code to work its best, making you feel younger and healthier today. You can try Mimio today. Use my discount code at checkout, which is BiohackingBrittany. And you can get all of these benefits in a simple supplement today. Again, that's BiohackingBrittany in all capitals. So definitely try it and let me know what you think.
Nice. I love that. I love that it was like a COVID project that survived COVID, came out of it, and now is something much bigger. And especially, yeah, because COVID was such a difficult time for so many people. That's such a smart thing to do, is like channel that energy and stress into something healthy for you. Exactly. And also very creative as well. And that entrepreneur spirit is really great to cultivate, especially during those times. But I love that. And I want to talk about a little bit the differences between the different types of cold therapy that you can do. So I have done cold showers. I've done cryotherapy. I have a ice barrel outside of my house that I fill up with a hose. And I rarely have done ice baths. I will be very honest. I've done a bunch of different things. And I think a lot of people have done a bunch of different things who are listening. So what are kind of like the differences between those? And what do you think, what do you think is the healthiest or the best? Or is it just maybe what you have access to?
Yeah, great question. Well, let's first think about the cold exposure in general. Cold exposure as a stimulus, because there's so many different ways, like you mentioned, that you can get cold exposure. You can get cold exposure from walking outside and be exposing yourself to the cold temperatures. You can get benefits of cold exposure from that. You can get benefits of cold exposure from turning the shower cold at the end of your shower, or just having a cold shower. You get cold exposure from taking an ice bath or a tub that has cold water. You get cold exposure from going into the ocean when it's certain temperatures. You get cold exposure by doing cryotherapy, where you go into those chambers and they blast you with cold air, and which is another way of cold exposure as well. So there's a whole range of ways that we can get cold. And if we think about it from an evolutionary standpoint, we as human beings, we've been used to cold exposure for our entire life. Like our ancestors, if we think back to our ancestors, we were very, very well cold adapted. Our bodies and our hardware is meant to thrive, and we have the mechanisms to be able to survive in the cold. And we are, as one of my mentors says, we are ancient beings living in a modern world. Like our hardware is not adapted for this modern world we're living in. We have all these mechanisms. Like we don't have to think for our, when we get into cold, for our liver to release cold shock proteins. It happens. We don't have to think about moving our blood flow from our extremities and our periphery into our core to protect our vital organs. That just happens. We have that built in. So we've in recent years, in the last, 100 years, we've gotten really soft, is the way that I say it. It's like we've gotten very comfortable, is a better way to say that, as being a thermostat generation and having access to just going around from comfort place to comfort place and having regulated environments. And so while that mentally becomes very challenging, our bodies are very well adapted for it. So there's so many different ways to get cold exposure. And that's why there's such good benefits around it as well, is because we have the hardware that's adapted for it. So happy to pick that apart and talk about specific modalities and some of the different aspects or pros and cons to different modalities, or which ones are maybe better, which ones may be better for different times. But that's just an important reminder around our experience as human beings with the cold.
Yeah, no, I think you're totally right. And the convenience is killing us, like they like to say, hey, but it's also kind of like comfort. Comfort is killing us, right? Like we're not really getting out uncomfortable or into these zones that push the body in a good way, especially when we don't overdo it. So maybe if we could kind of go through, like, I think the easiest one would be like a cold shower. I'm curious what you think about cold showers. You know, is there any benefit from that? Or do you really think you need to be submerged for a few minutes to get optimal benefits?
Yeah, great question. Cold showers are awesome. I love cold showers. My rule of thumb is start with what's accessible to you, because you're going to get benefits from cold showers. Now, there's not as much research around cold showers yet, but what we do know from cold showers is that you're still going to activate that cold shock response. So when the water's cold enough, it's still going to activate that cold shock response, and it's going to force you to breathe, right? Because when that cold shock response is activated, when the cold water hits your skin, it's going to shorten your breath, right? You kind of have to, right? It takes your breath away and you have to catch your breath. And that's so much of the benefit, is being able to use your breath as a behavior to regulate that wave of stress and to increase your capacity for handling stress. And we can imagine how that translates into our daily life in phenomenal ways. But that's going to happen in the cold. You're not going to get as directed inflammation reduction from being fully immersed in cold water immersion. I love cold water immersion as my favorite cold exposure, because your full body is being immersed in the water. And you can even dunk your, you can have your hands in, your feet in, and even dunk your head, which I believe is superior to the cold cryo chambers because, and cold air, because when you're in those cryo chambers, you have to have, you know, booties on and hands covered and your face is out in most of them, or your ears covered. And so you're going to get less of that full body immersion. Water is a better thermoconductor to be able to basically drop your core body temperature faster. So, but cold showers are great, and it's a great place to start, and it's a great place to also experience that. Another one of the amazing benefits from any engagement in cold, specifically cold showers, is you're doing something difficult, right? You're doing something that you don't want to do, and you're engaging in a hormetic stress, or that willful conscious dose of stress. And that leads to all of this host of benefits. It leads to building resilience, willpower, strength, and mental fortitude by being like, I'm going to go get into this cold water. So you're closing. That's going to lead to a dopamine loop as well that you're closing. So there's tremendous, like, I love cold showers. And I think everybody, it's a great place to start with cold showers as well.
If you're like me, you are thinking about your energy field. You're thinking about radiation, EMF, and 5G around you. And honestly, you're kind of worried about it as well. What if I told you you could just get a product, put it in your house, set it and forget it, and know that you're actually reducing the amount of EMF and radiation around you? That's where Lila Quantum Tech comes in. Their products actually neutralize EMF, even in electric cars. And this is so, so important because we are so bombarded with the amount of EMF and radiation in today's society. So their key product that I love is their Infinity Block. And it has actually been proven to increase ATP production, which is the energy in our cells, by 20 to 29%. So this really, really does matter. Lila Quantum Tech has over 59 studies, and they actually also have another 6 in progress. They are randomized, placebo-controlled, and double-blind studies proving the great benefits of their products. I really suggest you get this Infinity Block. If you can get something that you can put in your house and say, hey, this is actually helping to neutralize how much EMF me and my family are exposed to, it just makes sense. Why would you not want some sort of safety measure like that that you can count on? They also have a Heal capsule, which is like a little capsule that you can bring with you anywhere you go. And it does this same thing, obviously, to a smaller degree and smaller circumference around you. So I like to wear this when I go on planes because there's so much radiation on planes and EMF. And I like to wear it just in general when I travel. Their products have been proven to optimize HRV and improve your blood and obviously ATP production, like I said. So that's what I would do. I would really recommend looking into how you can manage your quantum energy field better, because this is such a key aspect of optimizing your health. You can get a significant discount through the link on my website and also in the show notes, and that will help you be able to get this at a better price. So again, that's Lila Quantum Tech. I have the Infinity Block. It's in my bedroom. I actually sleep right beside it. And then I also have their Heal capsule on a necklace that I take with me everywhere I go. And these are the two that I would recommend. I think this is a great starting pack for you and provides substantial coverage in order to neutralize the EMF that's around you and optimize your health.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there much difference between doing an ice bath versus like the cold plunge with just the cold water, where you're able to like regulate the temperature? Say it's like between, I don't know, like 1 and 4 degrees Celsius, whatever that might be in Fahrenheit.
Yep, that's a great question. Yeah, that's 33 to 38 degrees Fahrenheit. I've got my, being in the cold tub industry, I've got my conversions from Fahrenheit to Celsius pretty down pat. Celsius makes way more sense, by the way. I don't know why we're still stuck on Fahrenheit over here. Like, zero means freezing. That makes sense to me. But that's neither here nor there. So it's a great question. I think it's a really important question that's not asked enough, because most of us think, and we talk about ice baths and the benefits of doing ice baths. But the truth is that what I always like to follow the research and what's out there. And cold immersion begins when you're activating that cold shock response technically. And there's even such thing called cool immersion, cool water immersion, which is a bit more milder temperatures, even up to 69, 70 degrees Fahrenheit. But with cold water immersion, where most of the studies have been done that are commonly referenced and shared throughout social media and people talking about the benefits of the cold, people often talk about your increase in noradrenaline, 530%, you know, norepinephrine, that's going to make you feel alive and vigilant and awake and alert. And then people talk about dopamine increasing 250%, make you feel really good. Inflammation reduction. All of those benefits were observed under research at temperatures as mild as 14 degrees Celsius or 57 Fahrenheit. So not that cold. Point being, the minimum effective dose to really get the benefit from cold, you don't need to be sitting in ice. In fact, I always advise people and urge people to start at milder temperatures so you can start to build that adaptation, build your ability to respond to the cold shock response. And then you can start to go down in temperatures, because a lot of people getting in straight ice, it's a lot more difficult. Getting in at 0 degrees or 1 degree Fahrenheit or Celsius is a lot different than getting in at 14. But what if you could get the same benefits at 14? Like why not start at 14? So that's something that I think is really misunderstood and a big misconception around cold immersion, is that it doesn't need to be that cold and you don't need to be in there for 10, 15 minutes at a time. Again, some of the research suggests that 11 minutes per week is a really good sweet spot to get the whole host of benefits for cold immersion. So the unfortunate part is that what sells and what's sexy is being in an ice bath or breaking the ice and getting in. Like that's what goes viral on Instagram. That's what the algorithm likes. The algorithm doesn't really care about someone just getting into a tub full of water. You like to see the ice, but that's contrary to, as a lot of certain trends or fitness things, that's contrary to what might actually be good for you.
Yeah, it's always the more extreme things that get more views, obviously, you know? So I think that makes a lot of sense. When I do cold therapy, I've done it a bunch of different ways, but one of my favorite ways to do it is actually more of a natural approach. So swimming in the ocean, swimming in the lakes, and you know, the ocean specifically, especially here, I'm in the Pacific Northwest, is really cold. So this is not some like tropical ocean that I'm hanging out in. It is really, really cold. And so the element of cold therapy is really significant there. And obviously there's a host of other benefits that come from natural water. And I'm sure you learned all about that when you were in Iceland, like studying with Wim. And I encourage people to kind of start there, but I also like what you said. It's kind of like, what do you have access to? Like, how can you make this a weekly or daily practice for you before you go and sign up for cryotherapy or spend a lot of money on buying a tub? Are there any other tips or strategies that you can give people for those who are like, oh, I hate cold therapy, but I know it's so good for me and I'm really struggling with it? Like, how do you kind of help those types of people?
Yeah, another great question. The big way is it's all in the approach. Like we have developed, and from devoting my life to this over these past number of years, and learning from some of the best in the world around this, and guiding and facilitating literally thousands and thousands of people through their cold immersion experience, we found a technique that is really empowering to help someone get through the cold and change their relationship with it. Because if you're just getting in and trying to suffer through it, it's going to be miserable. But there's a certain mindset, focus, intention setting, and breathing technique that we teach, and what we call our three-staged approach to cold water immersion, or our edge sequence, which changes the game. And I've been able to help people as young as 10 years old get through the cold using this method, and people as old as literally 95 years old, and everybody in between. And like my mom is an avid cold plunger now, who's a short Moroccan hot-blooded woman, like now gets in the cold tub because of these approaches. So there's certain techniques, like anything, there's a technique, there's certain form that you can use to approach the cold. And that's something that I'm really personally passionate about, and we at Edge are passionate about sharing, which is why we've launched our Edge app to be able to help guide you through that, because you need the guidance of someone to help walk you through this from start to finish, have someone there in your ear. It makes such a difference than trying to do it by yourself. So if you have someone that can guide you through it with this approach, it makes an absolute game changing of a difference. So for those people that are like, I want to do this, or like, I know that it's good for me, but it feels like it's a big step to get in the cold, acknowledge, yeah, it is. It is a big step to get in the cold, because your body literally is trying to do everything it can to keep you safe and warm and stay away from the life-threatening stress stimulus that is the cold. But that's where having a teacher or coach, a guide, can really help you. And so that's why we've built our Edge app, to be able to help facilitate, no matter where you are, what you have access to, if it's a lake, if it's a guided, if it's a shower, if it's a cold tub, if it's anything in between that you'll have, you can be able to play a guided, an immersive guided audio session with a coach in your ear to help take you through that.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, community is so important for this. And also just like coaching guidance, like, yeah, it just makes it easier. I've also, you know, when I've had other people on the show talk about cold therapy, I've heard that there's a difference between the first minute and the minutes that follow. And it's almost like if you can get to the 60 second mark, you will be able to stay in longer. It's just that those first 60 seconds are the hardest. And I 100% agree with this, because even when I do it now, the effort it takes to regulate myself is really, really in those first 60 seconds. And then there's this shift that happens where suddenly I can breathe, I'm calmer, and everything kind of relaxes. So is there, what have you kind of seen with that? And what's been your experience with the timing?
Absolutely. The timing is different for everybody. And it also depends on what the temperature is, but you're spot on in that when you first get in to the tub or get into any type of cold exposure, what happens is your body goes into shock, right? Your breath gets short. You try to catch, you can't catch your breath, and you feel this complete rush of adrenaline, of all of these neurochemicals that's coming to keep you alive and alert and awake to survive, right? So your body goes into the sympathetic nervous system, fight or flight mode. That happens instantly when you get into the cold. That's the cold shock response. And that's good because that helps keep us alive, right? So that's what happens. And what you were saying exactly of regulating yourself, so we can use our breath and we can use long, slow inhales through our nose, long, slow outhales, long, slow exhales through our mouth to be able to shift into our parasympathetic rest and digest nervous system. And that process can take as short as 3 seconds for some people, or one deep breath. Like for me at certain temperatures now, I can go in, I can get there right away because I've built that ability and that capacity for my nervous system to respond to that. Or it can take a minute, it can take 2 minutes or 3 minutes to someone, depending on where they're at, where their stress levels are, where their nervous system's ability to handle that is. So, but the logic holds true, which is that if you can get, and once you get over that hump or that wave and you catch your breath and you're able to breathe, everything else relaxes and your body actually shifts into that parasympathetic state. And then it becomes a lot easier. Then you're just with yourself. It's focused. It's meditation. You're calm. And what a beautiful thing, because you're literally building calm in a stressful environment. You are telling yourself and using the power of your mind and your breath to say, hey, body, I'm in control. I got this. We're okay. We're going to be okay. We're going to survive. And you're breathing through it. And there are so much great things that happen as a result of doing that. So 60 seconds is probably, I would say, with the guidance for what I experience, it's usually closer to 15 to 30 seconds. If you're a beginner trying to do it on your own, maybe 60 seconds, or maybe you don't ever get there, because if you don't have that guidance of like really meeting that stress and knowing which breath to use, depending on what you're experiencing, it could be 60 seconds. It could be longer, but there is that principle holds true that once you do regulate, then it does become easier. Like you said.
Yeah, it really does. I recently started going to this place in Toronto whenever I visit Toronto, and it's called Othership, and it's hot and cold therapy. Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I have taken some of my family members there, and I've taken my mom, and we get into the cold tub together, and I really try to coach her through the first, you know, whatever you're saying, 45, 60 seconds. And this is somebody who is not used to cold therapy whatsoever. And man, every time, you know, we do 10 seconds more, and there's such this sense of pride that I see in her. You know, even if she gets out at 45 seconds, she's like, that's the best I've done, and I'll stay in longer. And there's such an emotional, mental part to this, you know, like it's not just like, oh, let's reduce inflammation and build resiliency. It's like, no, there's something that I can't even put words to it, but there's something that comes from this tiny little success that you do that just fuels you. And I don't know if you have any other stories like that, maybe particularly women for my listeners, but if you've seen success like that, I'd love to hear.
Yeah, it's so true. And if we think about why that's the case, is because think about how rare it is to face a fear and conquer a fear, like a real fear. It's something that it sounds great, but to be able to really face the fear and conquer a fear brings you a level of like you said, accomplishment and pride that is hard to get, is hard to get in daily life, truly. And I've seen so many different things happen as a result of that. One specifically comes to mind of a woman who joined us on one of our retreats, because we host retreats where we're going into natural cold immersion. We did Jackson Hole, Wyoming this winter. And it came from, and we had a tub as well at the lodge where we were practicing more contained with. And I watched this woman who had so much resistance and so much fear around getting into the ice bath. And I always like to get curious around that, because it's not the cold that we fear. It's usually triggering other fears that lie dormant within us, because it's what the cold represents. It represents our biggest fears, our limiting beliefs, our insecurities. Think about how many people even maybe listening are just like, oh, I see someone getting cold. Oh, I could never do that. It's like, wait, why do you say that? Let's think about that. Like, this is a microcosm for transformation and for personal growth. It's like, it can be our biggest coach and mentor. Like, why do you say that? The cold is a mirror, right? It shines that spotlight on those insecurities, on those limiting beliefs, on those fears that we have, and gives us an opportunity to work with that and to move through that. So the like you're saying, it's the inflammation reduction, the dopamine, like that's all tip of the iceberg. That's all like surface level, in my opinion. It's great that it has that benefit, but what is possible is so much greater, unlocking these deeper levels within yourselves and building this deeper relationship with your mind, with your body, with your emotional state. And so with this woman in particular, when we were working through this and we started getting curious around this, it brought up this limiting belief that she had and this lack of trust in her body of how often she got sick. Oh, the cold's going to make me sick, or I've got sick so much, my body can't handle this. And we're able to sit with that, hold space with that, get curious with that, and then bring an intention to explore that with her getting into the tub. And she got into the tub, and as soon as she got into the tub and she regulated that breathing in the tub, she started crying. She just bawled her eyes out. And it was a good cry. It was this cathartic emotional release cry, which can happen because you're working with these pockets in your nervous system and you're activating and releasing some of this emotions or trauma that's normal to happen when you put yourself in an environment like this. But she just started crying because she was able to regulate and to be in there and to do this. And after she got out, the tears just flowed even more because she just did something and just proved to herself that she is strong. She is capable. She is healthy. That her body is, she is so much stronger and more beautiful than she was giving herself credit for, and that she can do hard things, and that her body is there working with her and helping her and not fighting her, an enemy of her. So this is what's possible. And it's so moving. I get chills even as I tell that story. And that's one of dozens of stories like that I have, and that I get the privilege of witnessing and being able to play a some role in holding space for someone to witness and experience this transformation. It's so powerful. It's so much more than just the tub.
No, it's so much more than that. And you don't really know until you've tried it, to be honest. Like you just need to, you know, so cheesy, but like take the plunge. You just need to do it and give it a try. And I really think there's a lot that comes up for people when they do stuff like this. It's very similar to heat therapy with saunas. And like you're talking about, like getting into that parasympathetic mode, being able to work through these fears and traumas. And it's such a good question. Like, why are you afraid of the cold water? Like the cold water is not going to do anything. It's not going to, like, you know what I mean? Like it's just water. Like you're just sitting in it. There's typically people around. You're not alone. So what is the fear that comes up of being uncomfortable? And yeah, it's such an interesting question. And I think there'd be so many different answers that people have, but I think it's a beautiful way of healing slowly over time, especially if you have like traumas and things maybe that you haven't worked on. I'm curious about your own personal journey and your personal practice right now. How, you know, you've done cold therapy in so many different ways for so long. So where are you at with it right now? Do you feel like you've maximized the benefits, or like, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, it's constantly evolving. And that's part of the sometimes frustrating thing. But the beautiful thing about the cold is that like, it never gets easier. You know, like you don't just get to a point where you're like, oh yeah, the cold doesn't bother me anymore, which is frustrating sometimes because of how, you know, I think about how many times and how many reps I've taken and how much I practice. But then it's beautiful because I'm still able to get the benefits, right? If it didn't have any effect on me, then there'd be no point in doing it. So there's a big parallel to life there and challenges, of course. But for me, the way that I really am engaging with it now and kind of the way that I use it is like, I don't time myself anymore. I'm not going on super cold. I love doing it in nature, like you mentioned. So my favorite way to do it is in a river or a lake or a cold body of water. Getting the charge from the natural body of water that's cold and specifically like freezing feels so good for my whole being, truly. But I have an edge tub, of course, on my balcony now, and I love it. And I get in there every day. I like to start my day with it. Or if I'm working out, then I'll do it post-workout, even for just a shorter dip post-workout. So I don't necessarily flush inflammation on a deep way, which is helpful post-hypertrophy training. So I like to go in untimed. My preferred temperature is typically around, I would say 10 degrees Celsius is typically where I'm liking my cold tub at. So like, you know, in the upper 40s, low 50s in that type of range Fahrenheit. So, and I'm going in for maybe 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, sometimes shorter, sometimes longer, but I go in based on feeling of just getting in and regulating and staying with my breath and then counting breaths. Sometimes I'm like, all right, cool. Let me stay here for 5 breaths. All right. Let me go 5 more. Let me go 3 more. Let me go 10 more. And so I like a way of counting my breaths as a meditation. So that's the way that I like it. It's just, man. And then when you get out, I just feel so, so good when I get out, just so lit up. Sometimes I let out a big scream. I'm notorious for doing that. And people in my building have complained because there's a man half naked screaming on his balcony in a tub at 6 a.m. So there's a great visual for you. But otherwise in my office, I let it rip. We have a couple tubs and a sauna in our office space as well. So that's how I've been engaging with the practice now. And then I'll use it is just basically on a daily routine like that. And then I also will, like after tonight, for example, I play basketball on Wednesday night. So Wednesday night, I'll go in and maybe go just lower half body and go in for a longer time, maybe 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, and do a deeper flush so that my legs can feel less sore the next day. Great research on cold immersion, decreasing DOMS or delayed onset muscle soreness. So or if I go for a long run, I'll stay in there for a little bit longer with just my lower body and then I'll go full body. But otherwise, I like to go full body in, dunk my head once or twice throughout the session, just get a full charge, full reset, and then get out and get on with my day.
Nice. I love that. I actually want to ask about that. I was thinking about this the other day. I was riding my Peloton, and whenever I have really difficult rides, I like to scream as well.
Love it.
It's like, I don't even know what it is, like shout, scream, like, and sometimes I say like encouraging things out loud. It's really cheesy and whatever, like, but there is this like element of release that I find with it. And I don't know what that is. And I don't know why that happens. And I can imagine as well, like doing that during cold therapy of like grunting or making these sounds in order to like release energy in the body. Do you know why we feel kind of inclined to maybe make loud noises when we're physically uncomfortable like that?
Such a good question. I don't. I know that we do, like you're saying. And I know that there's something probably deep in our brainstem. There's probably something deeply, deeply animalistic and physiological response or adaptation we have around that. But I do know, one thing that I do know is that when we are vocalizing, specifically in the cold, so when we vocalize or we add phonation, so like, or humming, what that does in the cold is really great because that does two things. One, it forces us to slow our breathing down. If we think about it, if you hum, it forces you to slow your breath down. And when you slow your breath rate down, you're shifting out of sympathetic and into parasympathetic. So it slows down your breath rate. So phonation and making sound helps slow your breath rate down. So number one. And then number two, when you're humming or you're adding phonation, it also stimulates the vagus nerve. And so you can do like one of my favorite breathing exercises to do is just like humming for a minute or 2 minutes straight. And after humming for a certain number of minutes straight, you can significantly shift your nervous system state by stimulating the vagus nerve in your body. So humming and phonation help stimulate the vagus nerve and it slows our breathing down. So that's why it's actually really great to do in the tub or in cold exposure. And one of my things I love doing is if I'm with a group of people and we're going into a river or a lake, or something like that, just to go in and you're holding hands and you can hum or do rolling ohms together. And then you feel the connection together and you feel it just like it instantly makes you warmer. It's wild how that works. So I know that from a cold exposure perspective. I don't know why else, like if you drop something on your toe and you scream, it helps with pain. Yeah. I'm going to look into it though, because I'm sure someone listening does know as well, but it's very fascinating.
Yeah. I think you are actually probably correct. Like with the vagus nerve stimulation, like that makes a lot of sense. Even if you look at birth, like when women are giving birth, they're encouraged to actually make very primal noises and like these low frequent, like low noises, not scream high pitch, because actually if you go high pitch, it causes more cortisol in the body. So you actually want to be like they tell you to moo, like literally moo like a cow, because it actually really helps the mother relax and release the body. And so I actually think it is related to the vagus nerve, because it would do that same stimulation of humming or singing that we typically see and how that can regulate the nervous system. So yeah, I guess that makes sense of like why we grunt and do these things when we're physically working out or in a cold tub, because yeah, it just feels like it's kind of helping us regulate ourselves.
Yeah, good point. And just a quick Google search here shows me that shout, screaming, how it can help release tension in muscles. And this relief can also result in endorphins to the central nervous system, which can lead to reduction of pain and increase of pleasure. So that makes sense as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that I bet it's multifaceted for sure. Yeah. So what's next for Edge Theory Labs? I know you have an app coming out. If you want to talk about that, like what's going on?
Yeah. So the one thing we're really excited about right now is the release of our app, which I basically looked at, you know, what does it take in my experience and leveraging our scientific advisory board and some of the PhDs and our scientists we're connected with and our director of performance who have decades of experience combined in this space. What does it take for someone to really make a practice or a habit stick and something sticky and to get into the practice of cold water immersion, let's say? And there's three things that we've identified. One is you need to actually learn and understand what's happening physiologically and understand the benefits in a truly easy to understand way. Because if you don't understand why it's helping you or what's going on, you're going to have a lot harder time putting it into practice. So first you have to like truly understand the full range of benefits, how you can apply it to your life and how it informs you of your physiology. And then number two, you need to be able to put it into practice consistently. Like you need to be able to practice it and do it consistently time and time again. And then number three, you need to be able to do it in community. Like we were talking about earlier, doing it in community and having a community of other people supporting you is essential for that to actually create sustainable change. So we've built our app around those three things. We have these things we refer to as learning journeys, which are drip fed mini courses, if you will, breaking down the science around cold immersion, breath work, heat therapy in a really digestible bite-sized way so you can understand it, that are also not sacrificing the depth that's there. And then we also have a guided session library where you can search 50 plus guided sessions where you can plug a coach in your ear in real time to help lead you through a guided cold immersion session, a guided breathwork session, a guided sauna session even we have on the app. And then the third big piece is our Connect Feet functionality with our community hub, being able to join in multiple times a week, group breathing sessions, group cold immersion sessions, group Q&A sessions, being able to connect with other people all around the world that are getting into this practice. So the vision and the idea with this is to be able to help take someone's hand who's like cold curious, right? They're like interested. They're like, oh, I want to try this, but I don't really, this still feels like a big wall to get over, or they have stories around why they can't do it. It's designed to be able to take that person and help them, like grab them by the hand and help them get into it and get into the practice that can stick. So that's what we're really excited about right now at Edge Theory Labs. And building on that, we also have a couple new products we're launching later this year, which I'm not at full liberty to share quite just yet, but some really exciting products to complement what we're doing in terms of product expansion. So very excited about those couple things coming out.
Nice. I love that. I'm excited for you. Those are some great things that are coming. And I love that you're just expanding so quickly to really be able to serve your audience. So if people want to connect with you or, you know, order a tub for themselves, where can they do that and how can they find you?
Definitely. Instagram is the best spot for me personally and for us. Follow us on Instagram at Edge Theory Labs, myself personally at Joshua Dean Church, and then our website, edge3labs.com. You can have all the info. We'll make sure, if we don't have you already, Brittany, set up with a with a discount code to be able to give people if they're interested in a tub and for all your listeners, and then also free trial to the app. So I'll make sure we get that all set up in the back end if you want to experience and jump in and see what we're all about here at Edge. Those are two great ways to get in touch with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. This was awesome. And I definitely think my audience got a lot out of it.
Awesome. Thanks, Brittany.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Biohacking with Brittany. If you're interested in finding the show notes or the sponsors for this episode, you can do so on my website, which is biohackingbrittany.com. Remember to follow me on Instagram, where I'm most active. My handle is @biohackingbrittany. And if you're interested in working together and you want to email me directly, you can do that. My email is info@biohackingbrittany.com. And I look forward to hearing from you and having you tune in next week.